Cirrus without Alan Klappmeyer. Day 1. Hawker Beechcraft employees get more bad news. And the release of a notorious terrorist triggers public outrage. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, August 21st, 2009. We can't really call it a shock after recent events, but ANN has learned that Cirrus Aircraft co-founder and chairman Alan Klappmeyer cleaned out his desk in Duluth yesterday. His recent bid to form a separate venture to buy and develop the Vision SF-50 jet was in its endgame the week of Air Venture and ended with a decision by Cirrus to keep that project in-house. Alan hasn't disclosed his plans from here, but we're sure there's more to come. Watch for updates and analysis in text form this weekend at aero-news.net. Hawker Beechcraft employees got some added anxiety this week. The Wichita Business Journal reports that earlier this week, George Newen, Senior Vice President for Operations, Charles Mayer, VP for Marketing, and Gail Lehman, Vice President, General Counsel, and Secretary, all announced their resignations. In the same memo, Chairman and CEO Bill Boyster said he would be taking a 10% pay cut. On Wednesday, the company announced suspension of its 401k match, not to be revisited till 2011, and said the employee share of healthcare premiums was going up. Today, the company says it will announce more layoffs, mostly but not completely from its non-union ranks, to, quote, match our business demands and revenues, unquote. Abdel Basset Ali Al-Megrahi, the only person convicted in the bombing of Pan Am 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland in 1988, is back home in Syria following his release from a Scottish prison on compassionate grounds, following a diagnosis of terminal prostate cancer. Doctors say he may have only 3 months to live. As expected, the families of the victims and many others are outraged. The White House said it deeply regrets the decision by Scottish authorities to release Al-Megrahi. Pan Am 103 was en route from London to New York when it was destroyed by a bomb. 259 people on the plane were killed, most of them Americans. Another 11 people on the ground died in Lockerbie. Al-Megrahi himself was still in appeal of his conviction and maintains his innocence. Hundreds of supporters cheered his arrival aboard a private jet in Tripoli, Syria, a hero's welcome the U.S. had hoped to discourage. Up next on ANN, a fleeing car thief tries to crash the gate at Hill Air Force Base. Marcus Schrenker gets 4 years for trying to fake his own death. And the Topeka PD says goodbye to its helicopter unit. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 21st. I'm Paul Plack. A man accused of illegally entering Hill Air Force Base in northern Utah about 4 a.m. Wednesday has been turned over to authorities in Davis County, where he's in jail facing charges of unlawful entry onto a military installation and destruction of government property. KSL-TV reports that 40-year-old Teofilo Frankie Quintana told a guard at the gate he had made a wrong turn, failed to show ID as requested, and was told to remain in his car. Court documents say he then rammed the base's gate protection system with a 1997 Ford Expedition SUV, and when that failed, he escaped on foot. Officials say he was found with minor injuries and captured about 10 a.m. An Air Force spokesman says they did find ID in the vehicle, and a lot of it, including other people's ID and social security numbers. KSL reports a search of records turns up an extensive rap sheet, including two federal cases of mail theft and a conviction for attempted assault on a police officer. Officials say when they asked Quintana why he did it, he told them he stole the SUV and was trying to escape arrest. He faces up to 5 years in jail on the current charges. Marcus Schrenker, the Indiana man who bailed out of a Piper PA-46 Malibu and allowed it to crash in an attempt to fake his own death, was sentenced Wednesday to 51 months in a federal prison. He was ordered to pay more than $34,000 in restitution to the U.S. Coast Guard and $871,000 to Harley-Davidson Credit Corporation, the lien holder on the airplane. Schrenker was found after he set the autopilot, called in a false report of an imploded windscreen and injuries, bailed out of the plane, and retrieved a motorcycle stashed in a storage unit. The plane eventually ran out of fuel and crashed near homes in a Florida subdivision. He pleaded guilty to destruction of an aircraft and causing the Coast Guard to respond when no help was needed. The bizarre incident took place January 11th this year, a few days after Indiana officials searched Schrenker's offices and home. CNN reports he was wanted in Indiana on charges of defrauding investors through three businesses he owned there. He was charged with one felony count each of an unlawful act by a compensated advisor and unlawful transaction by an investment advisor. The city's website brags that the Topeka Police Department was the first law enforcement agency in Kansas to install a forward-looking infrared camera on a helicopter. That was in 1971, and the helicopter unit grew quickly in importance, averaging 1,500 flight hours a year. In 2008, the unit contributed to 95 felony arrests and 156 misdemeanor arrests. In 2010, that number will be zero. Facing a mandate to cut his budget by 10%, Topeka Police Chief Ronald Miller is having to let the unit go. It's not clear what'll happen to the R-44 and Schweitzer 300C. Councilman Bob Archer told WIBW-TV that voters were clamoring for a budget with no increase in property taxes and that cutting the helicopter unit makes that possible. Chief Miller observes, quote, "I know these are austere times, but you get the law enforcement that you pay for," unquote. Still ahead, Embry-Riddle eyes a location for campus number 3. JetBlue's latest promotion did better than planned. And Centurion gets to poke Ostro in the ribs a little bit. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, August 21st. I'm Paul Plack. As we count down the last few missions for the U.S. Space Shuttle, NASA has green-lighted the launch of Discovery on Tuesday. Mission STS-128 is a 13-day trip to deliver science and storage racks, a freezer, a new sleeping compartment, an air purification system, and a treadmill named after comedian Stephen Colbert to the International Space Station. The Myrtle Beach Sun News reports that Embry-Riddle University is reportedly looking at Horry Conway Airport in South Carolina as a possible site for its third campus, joining Daytona Beach, Florida, and Prescott, Arizona. The airport is the site of the former North American Institute of Aviation, which closed its doors last fall and went bankrupt. The paper reports Horry County's been trying to find a tenant ever since. The Pittsburgh Institute of Aeronautics is also reportedly looking at the space. Airport officials say Embry-Riddle is talking initially about an academic program with no actual flight experience offered at the site for now. A few days ago, JetBlue announced a discount travel promotion called All You Can Jet. For $599, the purchaser gets unlimited flights on JetBlue for a month, from September 8th through October 8th. Choices include 57 cities and more than 600 daily flights. Proving there's always demand if the price is low enough, the response was so massive the program was ended early. On its website, the company says in part, quote, "Our all-you-can-jet pass has been a great success. We've sold out of all available passes. We limited the number of passes sold to make sure that everyone who purchased a pass would be able to take ample advantage of it," unquote. Just like the all-you-can-eat pancake places, there were a few terms designed to keep you from binging. 3-day advance bookings, $100 no-show fees, and a no-refunds policy all seemed designed to limit spontaneity. But obviously, a lot of people thought this was a really good deal. You can bet it'll be back in some form, somewhere, someday. As Diamond Aircraft Industries has worked to disassociate itself from the turbodiesel aircraft engines formerly known as Teelert, going so far as to introduce its own Austro A300 replacement, it has also talked down its former supplier for more than a year now, hoping to prime its existing customer base to dump Teelert when their original equipment engines are due for replacement. And over the past few weeks, Centurion, which is the new name under which Teelert engines are sold, has taken advantage of every opportunity to talk up its more established dealer network and any other of the advantages over Austro its greater longevity offers. The latest such opportunity is Centurion's announcement of a milestone, 250 engines sold since the start of 2009. Even sweeter for Centurion, that 250th engine is part of a package of OEM kits ordered by Shandong Aircraft, that's the Chinese joint venture partner of Diamond. That engine is going into a new Diamond DA-40. Further down the press release, Centurion notes it has solved the problem of premature clutch failures by offering new buyers a coupon good for a free clutch replacement after 300 hours. And finally, the Reno Gazette Journal reports a pilot was departing Reno in a Jabiru LSA when he veered sharply left and came down in some sagebrush about 100 feet off the runway. While the plane sustained substantial damage, paramedics pronounced the pilot injury-free. He had taken his cat with him on the flight, and the animal was also reportedly okay. Investigators say it's too early to know whether the accident was mechanical failure or pilot error. Hello! Have you ever tried to drive with a cat loose inside your car? I have a theory. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, balloonist Larry Simberger tells us how he chose his favorite corner of aviation. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.